Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
If you still draft quarterbacks in round one, we're here to help.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Thursday show here on Fantasy Football Today. The whole gang is here. Adam Azer, Heath Cummings, Dave Richard, Jamie Eisenberg. Follow us on Twitter at Dave Richard, at Jamie Eisenberg, J-A-M-E-Y, at Heath Cummings Sr., Heath Cummings SR, and I am at Adam Azer. And welcome! We're going to talk about underdrafted and overdrafted players today because of the live show at noon Eastern, which you're going to miss here on Thursday afternoon. We're going to do a short show today. It's going to be about 40 minutes, so I'm going to stop blabbering. Good morning, guys, and you know what? Let's just go right to it real quick here. I'm going to pick one player. Underdrafted. Jamie, you say Jeremy Maclin is underdrafted right now.
He's going as the 39th receiver off the board, according to Fantasy Pros, and I think he's much better than that. Now, that's obviously contingent on Joe Flacco's back injury, but I think Macklin's going to be top 30, if not top 24.
Ooh, Dave, you're not feeling that? Or
no.
Last time?
Not at all. I'm going to let Jamie have Jeremy Maclin in our drafts.
Thank you.
Look, what happened last year, definitely because of a groin injury, definitely playing with Alex Smith, but I am starting to get the feeling that the black cloud is over the Baltimore Ravens this year. And Jeremy Maclin, 2 years ago, he did great. Everybody loved it. I don't know if he's still got that in him. I don't want to risk a decent pick on draft day on somebody who definitely is not a lock for 1,000 yards and could end up flaming out very quickly.
Okay.
Every player was a lock for 1,000 yards, we'd have a hell of a draft.
How many people? But you know what I'm saying. There are tons of receivers out there that are locks for 1,000 yards and then guys that we like that have the potential to get there. I don't think Maclin can get there, and I don't think the touchdowns will be there. Flacco's track record with wide receivers tells you as much. He's never had a big year with a wide receiver. He's had a bunch of good years. Never a great year.
Well, I don't expect him to be a top 10 guy. I expect him to be a top 30
24 guy.
Guy.
Well, that's what you were saying, top 24.
No,
I don't think he'll get there.
Well, you said maybe he can get top 24.
Maybe, yeah.
All right.
Tyrell Williams was a top 24 receiver last year.
He was top 12 last year.
13.
12. Looking right at it.
Jeremy Macklin's no Mike Wallace. There we go.
There he is. There it is.
He's no Rashad Perryman, but they all could be sunk if Joe Flacco was.
I think he's a lot better than Perryman's going to be interesting this year, and I don't necessarily disagree with the idea that this whole black cloud over Baltimore, but I mean, if they're getting it handed to him every week, they're going to have to throw it a lot.
Well, more on that in a moment. Start your fantasy football league right by booking your draft party at B-Dubs. You're going to get a free draft kit and enjoy a draft feast of boneless wings, three sides, and three shareables at a special price, only at Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports at participating locations while supplies last. Tomorrow we're going to do a mailbag show. Still trying to figure out the theme song thing. Went back to the old one today. You know, maybe it's just going to be a fun Friday thing going forward. I don't know. People are split. I want to make sure the listeners are happy. That's my number one goal, that you guys are happy, that you're informed, that you're ready to win your league. And we'll go back to the overdrafted and underdrafted. What, Heath? Go ahead.
I was just wondering if anyone sent you their age, like we'd requested, and if we figured out who it was that didn't know Saved by the Bell.
You know what? It was mixed. It was, I don't know Saved by the Bell, and I don't like the theme song. It was, I do know Saved by the Bell, and I don't like the theme song. It was, I love the theme song. Send me a link. Like, three I got this morning were like, I love the theme song, but three I got last night didn't like it. So we have thousands of listeners, and I've gotten like 15 pieces of feedback. I don't want to generalize, but again, I want people to like our show. So we'll do what we have to do. Jordan Reed, guys, we look at the news and notes. Jordan Reed is on the active PUP list. He has a sore big toe. Here we go again.
Turf toe scary.
Is it turf toe?
We don't know.
We don't know if it's turf toe, fractured toe, toe truck.
Toe truck.
Could be a tomato.
Tofu.
Could be any of those things, Adam. All we know is that he was healthy for OTAs, and then he was working out down here in South Florida, and next thing you know, he comes to camp, and he's on the PUP list. It could be nothing. It could just be that they put him on it, and a week from now, he's off, and he's running around and doing Jordan Reed-type things. Just got to wait and see. For now, I don't think you make any changes to your rankings or draft plans.
So you're drafting today. We are
fine. I'm fine with it right now.
It's the end of the fourth round.
Jordan Reed's there. I'm taking. I took him on Tuesday. Ignorance was bliss then. I know ignorance was bliss then. I have the same feeling now. Now, obviously, if reports come out or if he's sitting there 2 weeks later and he's still on the pup list, I'm going to get scared like a little girl. I'm going to run to mommy and say, mommy, what do I do about Jordan Reed? She'll say, you'll go on the waiver wire and find out.
What would your mom say if you said, if you called her and said, mom, what should I do about Jordan Reed?
In real life?
Yeah.
She'd say, I don't know who that is.
Ask your father. I don't know why I gave her that voice. That was
my
like
dad
a father's
also probably
voice.
Does not know who Jordan Reed is.
All right, so we'll keep an eye on Jordan Reed. Cincinnati rookie wide receiver John Ross is still a couple of weeks away from returning from shoulder surgery. Do you guys draft John Ross in 12-team leagues?
No.
As of right now, no. Okay. I mean, it depends on the depth. I'm doing a lot of 20-round drafts, and he certainly gets drafted in those, but not at 15.
Okay. San Diego acquired quarterback Cardale Jones from Buffalo for a conditional draft pick. And Philadelphia traded offensive lineman Alan Barber to Denver for a 2019 draft pick. I don't think these are significant moves, nor is the Jets claiming Lucky Whitehead off waivers, right? Not significant?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Pete Prisco writing some really good stuff, underrated and overrated. He's got an underrated and overrated for every team. And he just said that Danielle Hunter is the most underrated player in the NFL. That is a Minnesota defensive end. There, we just talked more about IDP. But it's an interesting read. I think you'll like it on CBSSports.com. And Pete Prisco is part of the new Pick 6 podcast. It is two episodes old. It is Nick Costos, Will Brinson, Pete Prisco, and Jason Lockenfora. They drop knowledge. They have a lot of fun. I think you will like that podcast. You can go to CBSSports.com/podcast, by the way, if you want any of our shows. We have a lot of them. We have a really good spot for any sports fan. Atlanta's contract talks with Devontae Freeman have hit a snag, according to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. It doesn't really matter because they have $2 hot dogs, and I love the Falcons. Nelson Agholor, this is a bit of a news item. He has the leg up on the slot receiver role for the Eagles, according to FanRag Sports. What do you think about that report about Nelson Agholor?
It means nothing.
Okay. Torrey Smith is not exactly doing anything he's supposed to be doing right now.
It means that we're talking about two receivers that nobody's drafting.
So Jordan Matthews is dealing with some tendonitis in his knee.
Yeah,
right.
It could be worse than that.
Bad for them right now.
Trevor Siemian is going to get the first reps at training camp for Denver. And good news, Cleveland defensive end Myles Garrett is healthy for training camp after a foot sprain in spring workouts. When do you think Myles Garrett will go in IDP leagues?
Probably in the first 20 defensive linemen just because of
position scarcity.
Hope.
Yeah, I wouldn't even be surprised if he goes in the first 12 defensive linemen, towards the very end of that.
Yeah.
So the subject of today's show is ADP review, and like I said, it's going to be a shorter show. Less time to have some fun and goof around, but we do have this awesome email from Noah from a town that gets its news from Heath. I'm not sure what that means.
A town that gets its news from Heath.
Yeah. Twitter?
That sounds like Springfield, Missouri.
Okay, Springfield, Missouri. Like many of your listeners, we only have your voices to go off of and create a mental photo in our heads of what you look like. For years, I've listened and never thought to myself, what do they look like? Until now. Please understand that my descriptions are not meant to upset or offend any of you, Adam. Without further ado, here's what I came away with. From heretofore, before Google Images will be known as BGI, and after Google Images will be known as AGI. So, Jamie, BGI, Noah thought you were tall, with shaggy brown hair, wears nothing but plain colored polos with slacks, picture any golfer, but always with an athletic watch that's at least 100 meters water resistant. Jamie, after Google Image, basically looks like Bradley Cooper's character in Wedding Crashers.
Okay.
Okay.
Nice. Do you get that, Jamie, that you look like Bradley Cooper?
I get it a little bit. It's very flattering, yes.
Yeah. I get
more flattering than when you get Paul Ryan.
More flattering when I get Paul Ryan. The time I get a lot is when I don't shave the beard and I let the beard grow and I wear a hat. I get a lot of American Sniper. Bradley Cooper.
Yeah.
I get a lot of DiCaprio, but you know, that's no big deal.
And Jesse Eisenberg, I get that too.
Oh yeah. Adam, before Google Image, thought I looked like this. Medium build, blondish hair, pale, protruding Adam's apple. That's not fair, just because my name's Adam. Adam, after Google Image, AGI, looks like he borrows all of his clothes from his dad, who's slightly bigger than he is. Looks like anything over 73 degrees makes him sweat. False on both accounts. I am actually bigger than my dad, which is saying something because I'm small. Dave BGI, tall, stocky build with a goatee. Dave AGI, holy crap, you look just like you sound. I'm not sure how tall you are, and I didn't picture you with glasses. You look like the Big Show's baby brother.
Yeah.
I see that. Yeah.
A little kid once at a grocery store asked me if I was the Big Show.
Oh!
This was like 8-9 years ago.
Did you chuck slam him?
No. I said no. I was flattered.
Were you wearing like a onesie?
I was wearing a singlet.
A singlet, yes.
Walking around, everybody could see my thighs. And
that is outstanding.
One of my nipples.
Yes.
All right.
Single strap.
Yeah, yeah. Singlet.
Heath BGI. Taller, stockier build than Dave, but no facial hair. I did, however, picture you with glasses. Heath AGI, after Google Image. Not many photos to choose from, but from what I saw, it looks like you report local news in Nebraska.
Fair.
And then finally, Chris BGI, Chris Towers. I pictured Chris Hardwick's doppelganger. Chris AGI looks like Kevin Smith if he were a hedge fund manager. Oh my God, that's great. Thank you for this email, Noah. ADP review. So I asked you all for 2 underdrafted and 2 overdrafted. Let's go back to Jamie. So Jeremy Maclin was 1 underdrafted player as the 39th wide receiver off the board. And the other that you went with is Willie Snead, who is the 36th wide receiver off the board. And he's going about 89th overall, but the 36th wide receiver. So you like these guys who are being valued as number 4 receivers. You see them more as number 3 with the potential to be number 2, right?
Willie Snead's going to crush this easily. He stays healthy. What we saw last year, the first 2 games before Michael Thomas got on the field when Snead was a starter. This is one of Drew Brees' guys. If we like Drew Brees, you need Willie Snead to be good for Drew Brees to be at the same level that he's been at, because it's not going to just be Michael Thomas, as Heath has said multiple times. As I don't see his numbers going up dramatically in terms of Thomas. Snead steps into Brandon Cooks' role. Ted Ginn will take some of that, but you tell me I get Willie Snead, 96 overall as the 36th wide receiver, I win my fantasy league 9 times out of 10.
You're going to win your fantasy league just by getting Willie Snead at 96
That's
overall.
Right.
9 times bold. Out of 10.
This is a 90% success rate.
Century.
That's right.
When do you feel comfortable drafting Willie Snead? Because that's kind of an issue for me. Because I feel like you're ready to take him in round 6 in the standard league.
Just to give you some comparison, Emmanuel Sanders is going as the 27th receiver off the board at 68th overall.
Didn't answer my question.
That's where I'm comfortable taking him.
So
it's round 6.
Round 6. And I feel like Snead's a better round 7 or later type guy.
I wouldn't really be that upset if I had to take Willie Snead in round 5.
Yeah, me neither. He's going to be awesome.
You know why? You know it could be a snag. Kobe Fleener takes all his touchdowns.
All of them?
All of them.
4 of them.
Like on rushing plays, end of rounds?
Yeah, exactly. He did that.
Okay.
Okay, cool. So Willie Snead's somebody that Jamie's been high on for a very long time.
I would rather draft Willie Snead than Brandon Cooks.
Me too.
Ooh. Whoa.
Well, at their ADPs, of course.
No.
I'd rather get Willie Snead at 96. If they're both on the board in round 5, you're taking Willie Snead ahead of Brandon Cooks.
Yep.
Oh, man.
I can't dine on that.
Yeah, I don't know if I can get on board with that. Oh, boy. Jamie, you have Snead ahead of Cooks, too?
I don't know if I have ranked that way, but I'm starting to feel that way.
Wow. Ooh, that is bold. Okay. Snead or Cooks.
Snead's in a better situation.
I have to. You know what? Let's do a 25-minute Twitter poll. I will get that going.
Oh, I mean, everybody's going to say Brandon Cooks.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to say Brandon Cooks. And then I'm going to quote tweet you and say they're all wrong.
You've got to understand that. What's Brandon Cooks' ADP? On
26,
well,
I think it was?
He's going round. Too early. He's
yeah, 26. He's going right after the turn into round 3. It's too soon.
Let's go to Heath's underdrafted players. Paul Perkins is underdrafted, Heath.
And I haven't actually seen Paul Perkins fall this far in our drafts, but his ADP is the 33rd running back off the board. And that's like, there's just not any. I don't know who people are afraid of in New York. You're afraid Shane Vereen's actually going. That's at the end of the 7th round, to be clear.
No, they're afraid of the offensive line, I think.
But I don't see any way that he doesn't get over 200 touches.
You know what's strange, to your point? Ben McAdoo is not a very forthright. Well, he's not dishonest. He's not a very forthcoming soundbite. He doesn't tell you a lot. He kind of speaks and quote, you know, and you know what I'm saying.
They've talked all summer about how Perkins is the guy.
He called him a starter And that's
he is the
rare.
Who else would be?
No, and that's just rare. Like, that was a rare vote of confidence by Ben McAdoo for Paul Perkins.
Guys that are going before him, Danny Woodhead, Frank Gore, Eddie Lacy. I would take him over all those guys.
In PPR, would you take Perkins over Woodhead?
In PPR, I could understand taking Woodhead. But he's going ahead of him in standard.
Ooh. All right.
This is before the news, because this isn't reflecting that much change yet.
Tevin Coleman's going well ahead of him. And Tevin Coleman's a backup running back.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So Paul Perkins underdrafted, according to Heath. Also underdrafted, according to Heath, is John Brown. John Brown, where's he going? Late, right?
Very, very late. Ooh, Wide receiver late. 49 in the 12th round of the draft. And people haven't had enough time to react to all the news about John Brown adding 12 pounds of muscle and looking fast as ever, being healthy. And maybe there's a little smoke there. Get it? Smoke. Smoky.
Smoky
no.
Brown.
Okay.
Brown. No, that's terrible. That's a bad pun. That makes no sense.
His nickname is Smoky.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good pun then. I am wrong.
I like Brown as a number three wide receiver. He has top 20 potential. If it's hard to do, and you can't completely do it, but if you just forget about last year, remember where we were with John Brown going into last year, there's no way he should be number four wide receiver 49.
126.8. That's round 11.
Yeah, that's
now,
crazy.
That's a guy, if you draft in round 11, you'll win 9 out of 10 fans.
9 out of 10. You draft Willie
if
Steed
you get him
and John
Steed,
Brown
right, at their current ADP.
It's over.
Congratulations, you've won your league.
Just auto-draft the rest of the draft.
Yeah, 19 out of 20 you'd win. John Brown last year struggled. He was dealing with the sickle cell trait. He did not have a good year. The year before, 2015, Brown was the number 20 wide receiver in standard, number 22 in PPR. He had 65 catches, and maybe he'll be better in standard than PPR, but he had 65 catches, 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns on only 101 targets in 15 games. And that was, like, you can joke about Michael Floyd all you want, but Floyd actually was good that year. So he put up those numbers with a good Floyd, with Larry Fitzgerald having 100 catches in 2015. I guess the only downside I saw with Brown that year was he had 7 games with less than 50 yards. He caught a touchdown in 4 of those 7 games. That helped, but that's a little scary. But yeah, I mean, it's crazy low for John Brown, wide receiver 49. And Heath also, oh, I'm sorry, we did your two underdrafted. So Heath went with Paul Perkins and John Brown. Let's go to Dave's underdrafted. Michael Crabtree is one of them. I think the second one is very interesting as well. But Michael Crabtree is the 24th wide receiver off the board. He's been better than that 2 years in a row, Dave Richard.
Yeah, he's been close to top 12 2 years in a row, if I'm not mistaken.
Not quite in 2015. So he basically had the same year. If you want to just go by fantasy points, 138 fantasy points 1 year, 142 the next, something like that. Or maybe it was 128, 132. But last year, a bad year for wide receivers. Crabtree was 11th in standard, 12th in PPR. 2015, he was 19th, around 19th or 20th. But basically the same year, about 1,000 yards and 7 or 8 touchdowns on 85-ish catches.
He's a good football player. And I know that he's not, you know, a sexy, swanky name, and he's not somebody that fantasy owners are going to saddle up to. No one's really targeting him, but they should feel comfortable with him as a number two fantasy receiver. He's going 48th overall on average. I don't mind taking him. That's like last pick of round 4. I'd go early round 4. And obviously in PPR leagues, I'd go a little bit sooner. And we make a big deal about targets in the red zone and targets inside the 10 for Amari Cooper, and he's not doing anything with it. Last year in the red zone, Crabtree had 21 targets, caught 12 of them for 96 yards and 6 touchdowns. Inside the 10, 8 targets, 4 catches, 4 touchdowns. This is a guy that Derek Carr loves to go to for touchdowns, and I don't see any reason why it won't continue this year.
Did you see Amari Cooper's numbers inside the 10?
Yeah.
So he only had one.
There are numbers for him inside the 10?
There are targets. He had.
You sure?
He had one fewer target than Crabtree.
I thought there's just like nothing.
There's no catches. He didn't catch one of them. It's crazy. Like, so yeah, Dave just gave the numbers. Inside the 10, right. Cooper had 8 targets, 4 touchdowns. Cooper had 7 targets, did not catch one of them.
And in the red zone, Cooper had 13 targets, 5 catches, no touchdowns. So in the red zone, outside of the 10, 6 targets, 5 catches. That's good. Just no touchdowns. Where are the touchdowns, Amari? Show us the touchdowns, Amari.
So, guys, you can all weigh in on this. Do you feel, I see the stat from Michael Crabtree, about 10 yards per catch, a little bit more. That's very low. Actually, it was 11.3 last year. I'm sorry. It was 10.8 the year before. So about 11. If Cooper takes the next step and has a big year, do you think it comes at the expense of Michael Crabtree?
A little bit.
Yeah. What are we talking about with Cooper, though, having a big year?
I mean, look, he was three or four
more touchdowns to his totals from last year.
Sure. That could take away. That could leave Crabtree with 7 touchdowns.
But it's also going to come at the expense of Seth Roberts. It's going to come at the expense of, you know, a rushing touchdown or two that Latavius Murray had last year.
I'll tell you the one thing to worry about with Crabtree. Maybe this is why his ADP is low. Marshawn Lynch could steal touchdowns.
Yeah.
That's a goal line.
Is he really scoring more than Latavius did last year?
That's the thing. I think he'll get those opportunities, at least as many as Latavius.
Yeah, but I don't think that's the impact on the two receivers. Because I don't see Lynch scoring more than 12 touchdowns.
Yeah. It's 12 total touchdowns or 12 rushing touchdowns for Latavius?
He had 12 rushing.
Rushing? Wow. Okay, let's move on. Get to our next, what was it? We're on the underdrafted players for Dave Richard. So
the last one.
Michael Crabtree and Jeremy Hill. Underdrafted, huh?
Well, he's not dead, and he's going as running back number 49 at 143rd overall. If it's round 12 and Jeremy Hill is still there, I'll gladly take him. It's good value for a player who admittedly will be a touchdown or nothing type of option once week 6 comes around. I think he'll lose the job by then.
So we got to talk about overdrafted players, which will include Marshawn Lynch. We might as well have the Marshawn Lynch discussion. And a few more running backs, including someone who's about as old as Marshawn Lynch. I think older. Adrian Peterson older than Marshawn Lynch?
1 year older.
Yeah. We'll get to that in just a moment. Remember, being a league manager is tough, and you gotta get off on the right foot. Have a fun draft party. Go to Buffalo Wild Wings. It's important to get a good first impression. It all starts with a draft. If you want your league to love you, then book your draft party at B-Dubs. You're going to get a free draft kit and enjoy a special draft feast of boneless wings, 3 sides, and 3 shareables for a special price to feed your league. Come in and get to drafting up some league manager love at Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports. At participating locations while supplies last. Get on that, people. You guys watched soccer last night?
Yeah, it was great.
That was awesome.
No.
No?
I did not.
Come on.
You say that like almost like soccer. Feh.
No, it's not that. I didn't know it was on.
What?
Yeah, that's my excuse too.
I probably still, like, baseball was on last night, right?
Yeah, but it started at 9:45. It was the Gold Cup final. We won.
It was really excellent.
We won the Gold Cup.
We won the Gold Cup.
Did we get a Gold Cup?
Yes.
What was the 87th minute or something we scored a game-winning goal? It was really exciting.
By Morris, cool. Yeah.
Who did we beat?
We beat Jamaica.
Jamaica.
Ah! Take that, Mon.
Josie Altidore is just amazing.
Oh, man, he's awesome.
You know where he's from, right?
No, but I tweeted last night that Josie's on a vacation far away.
Josie is from the town where Heath and I live.
Boca Raton.
That's right.
Do you guys get my reference? Josie's on a vacation far away?
No.
I'm very proud of my hometown kid and very proud of America. And good job, soccer.
You don't know that song, Your Love by the Outfield?
I also love Jamaica, too.
It was played at my wedding. I don't want to lose your love tonight. Okay, so back to the ADP. Dave, we'll start with you. We'll go with your overdraft.
True or false? Adam's saying at his own wedding.
I'll say false, because I hope it's false.
I like the way you said it was played at my wedding, like I was supposed to know that. I wasn't invited to your wedding, Adam.
Nor did you get me a gift. Scott White
Why
did.
Would I?
Scott White did.
Yeah. Breaking news. Scott White is nicer than Heath.
False, by the way. I did not sing at my wedding. Marshawn Lynch is going 24th overall. He is the 10th running back off the board. We are the official podcast of Marshawn Lynch hate, Dave, so why don't you lay out the case against Marshawn?
I don't like how that sounds, because
I like
Marshawn Lynch as a dude, and if he fell way further than 24th overall, I would take him in a fantasy league. But he's RB10 on average. And another running back that's going close to him is Lamar Miller. And Lynch might score one or two more touchdowns than Miller. I'd be surprised if he had that type of yardage. And I'd be even more surprised if Lynch played more games than Lamar Miller this season. I'm not a huge fan of either one of these guys, but at least Miller I could see worth that pick early in a draft. Lynch didn't play football last year. When he did play football last, he didn't look good. He got hurt. He is well past the point where breakdowns happen more frequently for running backs. He isn't going to get every single carry. He might get every goal line carry in Oakland, but he's not going to get every single carry. I think the Raiders would be smart to kind of limit him. They've got these two other young running backs behind him. Let them take some of the work. And it's still a team that's got a prolific passing game. So this isn't going to be like it was in Seattle where Marshawn Lynch was the whole show. He's going to disappoint you if you draft him at 24th overall.
Are you comfortable taking?
Round five. I don't think I'm in the round four squad yet.
Yeah, I'm just not going to have any Marshawn Lynch. I think it's kind of interesting when you compare Lynch and Jamaal Charles. Charles basically missed all of last year. Lynch didn't play last year. 2 years ago, Charles got hurt midseason, but he was good before he got hurt. 2 years ago, Lynch got hurt midseason, but he was bad before he got hurt. Lynch is 8 months older than Charles. We've just completely decided we're not drafting Jamaal Charles, which I don't think is necessarily a bad idea. But we're drafting Marshawn Lynch in the second or third round.
Well, I mean, there's a couple differences. Marshawn Lynch is walking in as a starter. Jamaal Charles is walking in as a backup. When you say that they both got hurt, Charles's was season ending. Lynch came back that year.
Yeah.
Charles was season ending, and he had a hard time recovering.
He did look better in the playoffs than he did Lynch in terms of Lynch.
Yeah,
before he got hurt the first time.
I'm not saying Jamaal Charles and Marshawn Lynch should have the same ADP.
Yeah,
but one of them we're just completely ignoring, and the other one we're drafting in the second or third round.
One thing we're ignoring with Lynch, not us, but people I think are ignoring, is like they really went out of their way to limit the touches for Latavius Murray for a lot of last year. Like they're probably going to do that again with Marshawn Lynch.
I think there's already been a report about that they don't want him to get 200 touches.
And what, Murray was like 190 something?
Yeah, he was right. He got a lot of catches. Murray ended up getting 195 carries, 33 catches. I don't know if Lynch can get to 33 catches.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't expect
that. And
that
was in 14 games, so Murray missed some time too. I don't think you can plug in Murray's stats from last year into what Marshawn Lynch.
No, the thing you're hoping for by drafting Marshawn Lynch, which I think what Dave said is the accurate spot to do it, round five, is you're hoping that offensive line is great again. You're hoping that he gets close to 200 carries. And most importantly, you're hoping that he scores double-digit touchdowns. If he scores double-digit touchdowns, he's going to be worth whatever you take him. But as Heath alluded to, he's 31 years old. He's old. I mean, you know, and there's,
right.
And there's other guys there.
He's too old. Dave, you also think Christian McCaffrey is being overdrafted.
It's another overhyped player where people are just too excited about him. They're taking him as running back 15, 34.3 is his ADP.
I think, again, though, just one thing with the rookies. This could be factoring in dynasty drafts. Because they do not Fantasy Pros does not differentiate what their format's at. They just do standard PPR.
I think if this were his PPR ADP, I would get it. Because I think he'll be the second best rookie in PPR. But I'm at the point now where I think he's going to be the fourth best rookie in non-PPR. I've got him ticketed for 1,000 total yards and 5 touchdowns.
Okay, that's Christian McCaffrey we're talking about. Let's go on to who's up now. Heath, your overdrafted players. Got Julian Edelman and Doug Martin. So I already heard you say you take Snead over Cooks, and you, I'm guessing, would take Cooks over Edelman.
Yes.
So would you take Snead over Edelman?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That was good.
Thank you.
Deduction.
Thank you. Very appreciate it. All right, Edelman is the 22nd wide receiver off the board.
Not in PPR. And I don't think there's any way that Dynasty's moving Edelman up, because he's not young either. I could see him not even meeting that in PPR. He had 158 targets last year. That number is going to plummet.
7 targets a game is what he averaged when Gronk was healthy.
Right. That was no-brainer.
and that was without Brandon Cooks.
Right. So that would be 112 if Gronk stayed healthy 16 games.
Over 11 targets, and Cooks stays healthy. It was over 11 targets a game when Gronk got hurt last year.
Right. And he's not somebody that's hyper-efficient in terms of fantasy points per target.
Or a big red zone threat.
So I there's no way I want Julian Edelman as my number two wide receiver, and I don't view him as a high-end number three.
Does it mean anything to you that he's averaged 9.7 targets per game in the last 4 years?
No, because it's all over the place. Gronk healthy, Gronk not healthy. And now there's so many more mouths to feed there. It's not like
there's
they're all
really
telling,
one more mouth to feed.
Well, it's not like they're telling Chris Hogan and Malcolm Mitchell, you're not playing ever again. And, okay, yeah, you're right. There is less mouths to feed. Andrew Hawkins is gone. So Danny Amendola right, is still on the roster. He's going to get a target or two a game. Dwayne Allen's there. You know, I mean, they go back to their two tight end formations that they love to use with both these guys on the field. So it's going to be tough for Edelman. I mean, he's still one of Brady's go-to guys. I think he's better off as a third receiver. You would take him as a third receiver, wouldn't you, Heath?
A low-end third.
Yeah, I think third in standard and PPR. I don't want to trust him as a starter either.
Would you guys rather have Julian Edelman or Emmanuel Sanders?
Sanders.
If Simeon's the quarterback, I will take Edelman. If Lynch is the quarterback, I will take Sanders.
I'll take Edelman either way.
All right.
I don't think it's as doomy and gloomy as Jamie and Heath are making it out to be. I don't think it's going to be, 1,100 yards and 8 touchdowns.
But is it?
I think he
800
could
yards?
No, I think he could scrape close to 1,000 yards and 6 touchdowns.
But he's been like a 10-yard per catch guy too, right?
He's been 11. Over 11 the last two seasons. And I think if teams are going to...
So he's got to catch 90 passes.
Look, I think the Patriots' game plan every week is going to be almost exactly the same. They're going to take what the opponent gives them because the opponent cannot cover the Patriots' weapons adequately. Maybe Denver.
But there's still...
Other than that, I don't think there's a team...
There's still rhyme or reason to what the Patriots do. Red zone, it's not exactly like they're going away from Gronk.
Sure.
Allen will be a big red zone threat for Brady. And then Edelman, which he's never been a huge touchdown guy.
No, that's
we'll
true.
Have to pick and choose.
It's the volume.
When he gets there.
Right. So you're basically predicting just a decrease in volume for Edelman, which
make sense. I would be surprised if he's over 1,000 yards receiving, and I would be surprised if he's over 6 touchdowns.
How many catches would you be surprised?
I've got 78.
Yeah, I would say in the 80s.
It's kind of strange that if we had to project the best offense in the NFL, we'd either project the Patriots or they'd be in the top, 3 or something. And it seems like we want nothing to do with their wide receivers based on ADP.
Based on ADP, yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting. True. It's just they have the best tight end in football. They'll throw to their running backs and they'll spread it around. And yeah, I mean, it's just the Cooks, Edelman, Malcolm Mitchell. It's a lot of people. A lot of people. All right. We've talked about it. Doug Martin is the 21st running back off the board. Now when you look at Fantasy Pros ADP, his rank is 53. His average draft position though is 80th. I don't quite understand. I don't know what to go by. We should go by 80th, right? He's going 80th overall or no?
I don't understand that at all. You just alerted me to this difference.
Did you see what I'm talking about here?
I don't know why his rank is 53, and that's what I went on. If he's being drafted at the end of the 7th round, then he's not overdrafted.
Yeah, this is interesting because Ty Montgomery's right behind him, but Montgomery's 25. You know what? Forget it. Let's talk about Doug Martin, why you think he's
Just to put this in context, because people that are listening to us, our average draft position will start to populate very soon on CBS, which is the one we're going to talk about much more moving forward.
Sure.
So in about a week, you're going to start hearing us just referencing our own average draft position. Fantasy Pros has been great. They've done a great job of aggregating all the other average draft positions, but we'll start going by ours very soon.
So Doug Martin, as running back 21, I think that's probably the best way to do this. Running back 21, Heath, is that too
early?
Yeah,
and I don't even think he's being drafted as running back 21, so I think we should just skip Doug Martin.
Fair enough.
Where are you comfortable drafting Doug Martin? Let's just
a third running back. Right around running back 30.
Spot in the draft, round 6?
7, I'd prefer, but 6 is fine.
Okay.
I don't love 6.
Works for me.
7.
How good do you think he'll be when he plays?
Number 2.
Okay.
There's been 2 times in his career where you could say motivation has been without question. There's been no question of his motivation. Rookie season, trying to prove himself as a somewhat of an unknown out of Boise State, and contract year 2 years ago. Every other time, injuries or lack of conditioning, whatever, the negative reports on him coming into the season haven't been great. He's met every criteria that you could ask for a guy that was suspended at the end of last year, suspended to start the season, had the, you know, rehabilitation stint. He seems to be doing what he's done when he's been motivated, and that's what you should be asking yourself. Can he be that guy again? So I don't really worry about the other mouths to feed there with him, because he's going to be the best running back if he's on point, and that seems to be the case.
So, Jamie, we got about 5 minutes left, and your two players who are overdrafted are two running backs, Spencer Ware and Adrian Peterson. Let's talk about Spencer Ware.
Yeah, I think, you know, I will change my tune if Spencer Ware comes out in training camp in the preseason and just keeps Kareem Hunt on the bench. Then this is probably an accurate spot for him, but I don't know if that's going to happen. This is really shaping up to be a timeshare. If not, Spencer Ware may be losing the job and coming off the bench behind Kareem Hunt. Why would you take him in this spot as a top 20 running back until you know for sure? So the fact that he's going ahead of Mark Ingram, who's in a similar situation, maybe that's not the best example, but five running backs ahead of Mike Gillisley, who seems to be in a better situation. He's going ahead of Paul Perkins. That's a mistake. I just don't know why Spencer Ware is still being viewed as the only guy in Kansas City. And I see other fantasy analysts saying that. Oh, can't wait for Spencer Ware. I just don't understand it.
But he didn't really.
Kareem Hunt might be better.
He didn't justify it. Like, even if he were the only running back, I feel like you'd be drafting Spencer Ware just because he's the only running back, not because he was so good last year.
Right.
I think there's just dissenting opinions over how good Spencer Ware is and how good Kareem Hunt is. I know that there's people that think Kareem Hunt's just obviously a better running back than Spencer Ware.
Hi.
And there's lots of other people that don't think that Kareem Hunt's that special and he's going to be the Charcandrick West and that Spencer Ware's a much better running back than him.
And he could be. I mean, I think it's really more about Ware had some good moments last year. Certainly the beginning part of the season, he was awesome. Then he had the concussion and he wasn't really the same after that. But is he really that special, or is he just the guy that got the right opportunity?
Right.
Because he could just be better than Nile Davis and Charcandrick West, and that's why he was Jamaal Charles' replacement. But it wasn't like they went to Ware right away when Charles first got hurt, if you recall. It was maybe Nile Davis, so let's try Charcandrick West, and it was West's turn, and then Ware was better than him. There's just a the way I would view it is, especially at this ADP, give me Kareem Hunt all day by comparison.
I view this situation very similar to the way I view Washington's. I don't necessarily think that Ware is that special. I don't think Kareem Hunt is that special, and Ware's the incumbent. But the difference between that situation and this one is Ware's being drafted like the incumbent, whereas Kelly, in a lot of cases, is being drafted after P. Ryan. And so I'm much more excited about drafting Kelly.
And by the way, Kareem Hunt is the 38th running back off the board. So good value on him. And finally, Jamie, Adrian Peterson is overdrafted, overvalued right now.
I you know, just wrote the story, you know, which we've talked about a million times, but I, you know, added some context to it by speaking to Mark Ingram. I just don't understand why people don't view Ingram as the best running back in New Orleans. And at the time when I wrote it, the average draft position has changed a little bit. So at the time, Ingram was the 23rd running back coming off the board, according to Fantasy Pros, and Peterson was 25th. That's now changed, where Ingram is 20th and Peterson's the 23rd running back. So both guys have crept up. If you want to handcuff them. That's not a bad move to make, because if Peterson stays healthy and if Ingram goes down, it's probably going to be Peterson and Kamara sharing the workload. But, I mean, you can't fall in love with names anymore. It's the same thing with Marshawn Lynch. He's not the same guy. He's 32 years old. He played 3 games last year in terms of Peterson. His knees are, I don't think they're shot, but they're certainly starting to get to the point where you got to worry if he can hold up for heavy workload. Even the Tim Hightower role, which was 130 carries last year and 20 catches. Hightower did very well in that role as a backup running back, especially since Ingram played 16 games. But that's I think, where Peterson's value lies, is as the backup to Mark Ingram. So you should be thinking of him as a late-round pick, not an early-round pick. And so round 8, if I drafted Ingram, I'll take a chance on Peterson. But round 10, maybe, by himself, and that's just not going to happen.
I should have saved my Jamaal Charles comparison for the Adrian Peterson instead of Marshawn Lynch.
There you go.
And screwed it up.
I was going to say Coleman or Peterson, but that's easy based on what you said. Doug Martin or Peterson?
Martin, easily.
Yeah.
Jacquizz Rodgers or Peterson?
I think that depends on your team.
Like, if you need
like
someone.
Like, if you're taking a shot on somebody that has probably a higher upside, I think Peterson has a higher upside.
Yes. If I have Ezekiel Elliott or Doug Martin, I want Rodgers.
Terrence West or Adrian Peterson?
West.
West as of now.
I'm sad that it's over already, this show.
Oh, I thought you meant Adrian Peterson's.
No, I'm sad. You guys have to go. Blame them. Don't blame me.
Right, only didn't have another chance to talk to you.
Short show, but tomorrow we'll come back and crush it with a mailbag and much more. We're also doing a draft later today. I'm sure we'll talk about that. Email us at fantasy.
Oh, live. All of our drafts now, you can follow along live.
Really?
So there'll be.
Well, we hope so.
We do it. We just test it. Okay. There will be a link that I'm sure all of us will tweet out.
What?
You'll have to refresh it as it goes along, but you can actually see. Unfortunately, you can't see the chat room where we're all making fun of Adam, but you can follow along live now with our drafts.
That's awesome.
It's going to be a lot of fun now moving forward, where, you know, it's not just me tweeting out the pick by picks and, you know, people commenting. They comment right there on whoever's Twitter feed you're following.
Okay, so that's very cool. And, ooh, do you think maybe we could do that on a podcast and read feedback as it comes in? All right, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that off the air. You guys get going. Get on your live show. All the video, I'm sure, will be available on demand, cbssports.com/fantasy. Go to podcastawards.com and please vote for us. And we'll talk to you on Friday.
Bye.